Saturday afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate you listening. I'm Sue Jeffers. This is the Sue Jeffers Show. We are broadcasting from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. I love these scorecards that people put out, and we see them on both the left and the right side of the aisle. The LEA, the Legislative Evaluation Assembly of Minnesota, is my favorite, and not just because I've been on their board of directors and I go every year to their banquet, which that's the beauty of this organization. You can become a member of it, and they only meet once a year to have dinner and hand out awards. Does it get any better than that? The awards that the LEA hands out, in my opinion, actually means something. So if a legislator is awarded an LEA honoree, then I know it's somebody that that I can trust and is actually looking out for me. The LEA 2014 report has been released. John Augustine is the president. He is joining us right now. Hello, John Augustine. Love your report.
Well, thank you very much, Sue.
Let's start out by, how about if you tell everyone, who you are and what the LEA does?
The LEA is a grassroots organization. It's nonpartisan, nonprofit. It's education and evaluation is what it's made up, is what it's composed of. It is about limited government, constitutionalism, free enterprise, legal and moral order with justice, and individual liberty and dignity. We've been around since 1972, and as you mentioned, we have a meeting, annual meeting once a year, where we have an awards banquet where we give out awards to those who score highest in the report. We do not endorse candidates. We do not lobby. We do not give money to candidates. We're about education and evaluation. And there were a number of candidates that did score quite well this year, although the legislature as a whole scored the worst that it has this decade.
It's incredible, John. When you know, I had Ted Lilly on earlier, and now I had you on. You scored 22 bills. They scored 16 bills. And I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Ted Lilly from the Taxpayers League. How did you guys narrow it down to just, you know, 16, 18, 20 bills? There were so many bills that could have been scored.
Well, that's certainly right. We only have so much money and so much ability to put the input in our printed report.
I know. Poor you, John. I would send emails to you or Gordon or whoever saying, and don't forget this bill, and don't forget this bill, and don't forget this bill, because there were just so many of them.
Right. And we rely on dues and contributions from our members for our funds. And one thing that some people might see is that a certain bill or a certain topic didn't necessarily get scored. If it didn't make it to the floor in both bodies, then we didn't need we can't score it if it doesn't make it to the floor in at least one body.
Right.
And if it didn't make it to the floor in both bodies, then we had enough other ones to select from this year that we scored both bodies on the exact same votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people to take a look at the 2014 report and the 2013 report for information as they prepare for Election Day. And I want to commend you for talking about Election Day as a day.
I know.
Registers their preferences and accepts the peaceful transition of power. And when it becomes more spread out over time and kind of nebulous, and it kind of reduces the integrity and credibility of elections. So I want to commend you for that. You wanted to talk about certain bills or something.
I do want to talk about
which mm-hmm. ones you thought were the most egregious. And
Before we jump into, because I picked out my four or five, and I asked you to pick out four or five.
Printed report. You can access our report online at www.lea-mn.org.
Mm-hmm. I liked the line in your introductory paragraphs where you said, with single party rule, constitutional process and political principle were largely swept under the rug, regardless of the harm done. And that is so true. You look at the, I am shocked, John, that there are not more lawsuits regarding the legislation that was passed by the one party Democrat rule.
I don't know the answer to that. Although, for example, in 2013 with the Senate office building, I thought it was a lawsuit that was had a lot of merit to it as far as including that funding in a tax bill, but they found a sympathetic judge. There's not checks and balances happening. It's not either from within the legislature or when the legislature overreaches. Is the governor vetoing? Is it the judiciary standing up for the Constitution? So we need to really try to work on reviving the checks and balances in government.
Right. I liked the
lawmaking is not supposed to be easy.
Right. I liked the Legislative Evaluation Assembly's 2014 report that said the economic winners in this session were government bureaucrats, labor unions, businesses colluding with government, and trial lawyers. The losers were almost everyone else. John, we have to take a quick break. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be back when we come back. John Augustine is with me. He's from the LEA, and we are going to talk. John and I each picked out four or five bills that we thought were the most egregious of the past legislative session. Stay tuned. Lots more coming. Sue Jeffers, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you listening on this chilly, chilly Saturday afternoon. Hey, did you hear that commercial from Dave Thompson? You know, Dave Thompson has a contract through election night. Now is the time to pick up your phones and call Andrew Lee and tell him, save Dave. We want Dave on for a lot longer than just through the election. And don't stop at calling Andrew Lee. Our big boss's name is Mike Crushum, and I think you should call him as well and tell him we want to save Dave. It is so great to have local content on our station. I love it, love it, love it. I told Dave last week, or maybe it was the week before, having him on air makes us all better. He is a treat to listen to, talking about all the different issues. I'm quite pleased that he actually addressed the issue of Senator Jeff Hayden, the, I'll call him corrupt senator out of, where's he out of? Minneapolis, I think. Those are the kind of stories we need to make sure we keep talking about. And there are oh so many more stories similar to that. All right, with me today, John Augustine. He is the president of the LEA, that is the Legislative Evaluation Assembly of Minnesota. They evaluate every legislative session since 1972. And they base this evaluation on the principles of constitutionalism, limited government, free enterprise, legal and moral order, with justice and individual liberty and dignity. I am a proud ex-member of their board, and now I think I'm just an advisor person because clearly I was too irresponsible to live up to my obligations, and all I would do was send them emails. How about this bill? How about this bill? But John and the gang.
We accept all kinds of volunteer input.
Right.
That's what we're made up of. We're volunteers. Right. We've had people involved that are academics, lawyers, people in the medical profession, people with science backgrounds, theological backgrounds, journalism backgrounds, business people, former elected officials, staffers, educators, anyone interested and willing to volunteer their efforts are welcome to get involved.
Right.
And your dues paying member.
Right. And you know what, John? I wrote a couple of the first rough drafts for some of the bills that you ultimately ended up scoring before you fine-tuned them.
Right, and thank you for that.
Yes, but other people can do that too. That's my point. If it's one bill or 100 bills
We need more. Yeah, we could always use more help, especially when you have an election year. People's attentions get diverted towards campaigns. We even had people that were on our board that when they saw there wasn't any competition that and the legislator was facing for re-election, they decided to file for office.
And right.
And so then they recuse themselves from the board. So we can always use more help.
And go Don Lee. I hope you win. Although
he's
a great man and he's working so hard too. So let's hope the people in that district realize that. All right, John. So you scored the 2014 legislative session. People can go to the website, lea-mn.org, and they can look at reports all the way back to, is it 1972, John?
It goes back a long ways. Our board member, Gordon Anderson, our webmaster, has helped put the vast majority of them on. I'm not sure quite how far they go back. It's a long way.
A long way, though. Yeah, I knew that, too.
You learn a lot about Minnesota history. Yes, there's almost, if not all of them, almost all of them are on there. Yes.
When I went back to look up some of the, this is before the primary, some of the Republican candidates for lieutenant governor, I went to the LEA reports to look up how bad they were. And yeah, they were as bad as I thought they were, but well, whatever. And you know what? They're better than the Democrats. And I don't say that very often. So, all
well,
right.
You have the scores, but then the other thing that we try to do is we try to give people a little more analysis for each bill that we do score. So they understand what the bill was, what it does, and why on principle we were opposed to it. And because our focus is just on grassroots education and evaluation,
mm-hmm.
and so we don't see much disagreement with most of the other organizations aligned with conservative limited government principles in terms of how they're scoring. It's just that they're doing all kinds of other things which are important, but we're focused just on this. So we have a pretty in-depth annual report.
Right.
I encourage people to take a look at it.
So, John, give us an example of what you mean by you picked the bill, you tell us who the authors were, and then you kind of weigh in why we favored it or why the LEA favored it or opposed it. Which was your...
Well, you don't want to lead off yourself there, Sue?
Well, no, I was going to let you pick, okay. But I'm pretty sure I have mine.
Okay. Well, let's take something like the increased recycling requirements for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Just one example. There's the substance of the bill, which I think, well, there's two parts to the bill. One part is it changes, it allows the state agencies to the Commissioner Administration no longer have to actually maintain a facility managing recyclables. They can just establish a system and contract it out. And that's the pretty non-controversial part of the bill. But then they also, at the very end stage of the process, not in the original drafts or what they call the engrossments, but at the very end stage of the process, right before the final floor votes, they introduced a version that also puts on recycling requirements for businesses in many metropolitan counties that they collect at least three types of recyclable materials. And there's also a ratio of 60% by weight of all solid waste in the bill and so forth. And these ratios are arbitrary. They can be very costly to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
How much resources should be devoted to enforcing them? Are public nuisance pollution penalties justified for just having the wrong ratio of ordinary garbage in garbage cans? I mean, it just seems like an overreach. And then you have the procedural problem with it, in that it really abused the single subject rule.
Right.
One thing to change what the agencies were doing, and that's what the bill was all the way through the hearing process as far as how the agencies manage their recyclable materials. But then at the very last minute, they put on requirements on, you know, privately owned commercial enterprises. And so that, at the very least, should have been a separate bill if it deserved any attention at all.
Okay, John, you know as well as I do, and by the way, if you go to the LEA website, Gordon Anderson has written a phenomenal piece on the single subject rule, and everybody should read it, because almost every bill they passed was a garbage bill stuffed full of so many things that you could hardly keep track of.
Yeah, I mean, supplemental budget bill.
Right.
That was completely superfluous. And once they raised the taxes enough and they changed it to having a surplus, and then they couldn't stay within their budget that they passed the year before. They decided they had to just omnibus catch-all of all kinds of other different items they were going to fund.
Mm-hmm.
You had the general fund capital investment bill, where you have your bonding bill, which you know, there's been excessive bonding bills over the years and so forth. But then
none like we've seen recently.
But this one, there were some things that they couldn't put in the bonding bill because they were multi-state projects or so forth. But there's also things that they put in here simply because the bonding constitutionally requires a supermajority to pass it. And then if they just funded it with cash, they could get around having the supermajority. So it was just kind of a circumvention of the intent of how capital investment projects are supposed to be funded.
You know, that, John, that's what I want to tell people, to take a look at the LEA report, because it gives you not only what's in the bill, but I always tell people the devil's in the details. And you get into those details and you find out what's wrong with it. And I would have hoped that candidates would have read this type of report.
Well, online voter registration is another thing that could potentially be very dangerous as far as the way it's handled. It's based strictly on emails. I mean, it talks about if it's available,
right?
ID, social security number, state ID card, but it all filters through the Secretary of State, which is not an impartial officer. I mean, it's somebody who's elected, and then they have a lot of discretion about how to enforce it.
Yeah.
And
John Augustine, I got to run, so I thank you very much. A fine job on the Legislative Evaluation Assembly 2014 report. Go to www.lea-mn.org to take a look at it. Keep me posted, John. You guys do good work.
Well, thank you very much. Do we want to quickly name the honorees?
I can't right now because I have like 1 minute and I got to get my predictions in. But I'll put it up on the website because there were a lot of them, and they a very good group of people. Thanks,
right,
John. Appreciate it. LEA, great work. Go check out their website. Look at the honorees. Gosh, I bet there's 10 or 12 of them. Drazkowski, of course. Well, go look at it. The election coming up on Tuesday. Yeah, the usuals are going to win. But Jeff Johnson's going to win. Mike McFadden's going to win. Stuart Mills is going to win. I want you to remember Fleet Farm has already helped more middle-class people than most of our government programs. And yeah, I'll give you 2-1 on that, Stan.
All right.
Stuart Mills, well, yep. But I think a lot, Emmer, of course, is going to win. The only question there is it going to be by 60% or 70%? We'll see. I think it's going to be a good day for Republicans.
Funny. I think you did this last time, a couple years ago. You picked all Republicans.
But I hope the people of Minnesota have woke up finally, because they didn't last time, and I thought they had. But now that unease, that anxiety, that we know there's something wrong. Even Amy Klobuchar is in Iowa. She doesn't even want to be around the Minnesota Democrats. So I think it's going to be a good year. But like most politicians, you have to be careful because they're not to be trusted. If you look down the list, I read some of the names. They're not the most conservative batch. And we've seen Republicans screw it up before when they get the majority. It's our job as voters to make sure that doesn't happen again. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll talk about the winners and the losers next week. It'll be so much fun. I love election time. Thanks for listening. Sue Jeffers, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, twincitiesnewstalk.com.